Marching armies have often been just one battle from world conquest. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the defeated dictators. Hello, this is Joe Cruz of the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. I'm sure we're all aware that in our century, many would-be world rulers have risen up. Kaiser Wilhelm, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and a veritable rogues gallery of petty dictators have had inflated dreams of ruling the world and bringing the masses under their ruthless control. Now, these autocrats have uniformly failed in their attempts to gain power over the world. Ever since the collapse of the Roman Empire, men's dreams of world domination have resoundingly failed. Charlemagne, Charles V, Louis XIV, and Napoleon are some of the more notable examples of despots whose dreams ended in defeat. Many today fear that some alliance of communist powers will eventually take over the world. Ultimately, friends, neither capitalism nor communism is going to win in this deadly struggle for supremacy. In fact, every system of government is destined to crumble and vanish away. Now, most people don't realize that God's Word has decreed defeat for every man or nation who would seek for dominion over the earth. The fascinating record of that decree is found in the second chapter of Daniel, where we read an actual brief history of world events and the end of time. The story is told here of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the ruler of the first world empire known as the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar was concerned about his kingdom's future, and one night the Lord gave him a very unusual dream. The king woke from that dream in a troubled state of mind. He realized that he had seen something of great significance, but he couldn't recall what it was. Now, Nebuchadnezzar immediately sent his soldiers to bring in the astrologers, the magicians, and the wise men in an effort to discover, if he could, what he had dreamed about. The king soon learned that the so-called wise men were fakers. They could not tell him a thing. Now, there are many people today who make the same mistake that Nebuchadnezzar made. And when they're endeavoring to find out something about the future, they resort to astrology and fortune tellers. The only way we can find out about the things that pertain to the future is by consulting the Word of God. When Nebuchadnezzar realized that he'd been duped by these parasites, the Bible says that he was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, Daniel 2:12. He then dispatched Arioch, who was the chief of the king's guard, to gather in all the wise men from all over the kingdom so that the order to kill could be carried out. Well, there were some young Hebrew captives in Babylon at that time. Daniel and his three companions were among them, and they were attending the king's school, and therefore they were considered to be among the wise men. Arioch ordered them to be taken in, and Daniel asked for time to consult his God regarding the king's dream, and that time period was granted. After Daniel and his three companions had prayed earnestly to the Lord, the dream was revealed to Daniel. And then he went in before the king, and he said, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Now notice that Daniel said that God was revealing something to Nebuchadnezzar that pertained to the latter days. Daniel now unfolded the king's dream to him. He said, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image." So Daniel then described the awesome scene of that giant image of a man which had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, thighs of brass, and legs of iron, with feet part of iron and part of clay. Daniel then described how a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that this stone rolled down upon the image and crushed it to dust. Finally, the wind came and blew away the dust, leaving nothing but the great stone, which Daniel said grew and grew until it filled the entire earth. King Nebuchadnezzar was amazed. He recognized that this indeed was the dream he had dreamed, and his cynicism was all gone. He listened intently as Daniel told him what the dream meant. Now the prophet first told him that the head of gold represented his kingdom. "Thou art this head of gold." Now gold was a fitting symbol of the beauty and wealth of the Babylonian Empire. But then Daniel told the king that there would be a second kingdom that would rule the world, and that it would be inferior to Babylon. Then he said that there'd be a third kingdom represented by the thighs of brass, which would also rule the world. And a fourth kingdom was then predicted before the king, strong as iron, as represented by the legs of iron in the image of the man. The kingdom of Rome was to be divided into 10 divisions, as symbolized by the 10 toes and the feet. And so Daniel revealed to the king that the iron and clay and the feet and toes indicated that the kingdoms of divided Rome would never be united again, as iron and clay can't be welded together either. Now, just as God predicted to Nebuchadnezzar in this marvelous dream, the Babylonian Empire finally fell to the second world power called the Persian Empire. Now, you'll find this recorded in the history books. The chest and arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian Empire, and as silver is inferior to gold, so the Persians were not as wealthy or luxurious as the Babylonians. Now, when the Medes and Persians laid siege to Babylon, they were scoffed at by the Babylonians. History tells us that they threw tons of food over their walls to show the Persians that they had plenty and to spare, and that they could withstand a siege for any period of time. However, under Cyrus the Great, the Medes and Persians finally got through into the city, and Babylon fell. The night of Belshazzar's memorable feast was the time of the downfall of Babylon. The third kingdom of brass symbolized the Grecian Empire, which was led by Alexander the Great in the conquest of the world. Alexander's army used more modern tactics, and although his numbers were not so great, they soon conquered the Medes and Persians. But Alexander died at an early age as a result of a drunken debauch. The fourth kingdom, strong as iron, symbolized by the iron legs and the image of the man, arose to rule the world, and this was the iron monarchy of Rome. Under the mighty Caesars, they soon conquered the entire world. The course of history had reached the legs of iron when Jesus was born in the earth. We read in Luke 2:1 that Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, decreed that all the world should be taxed, and this was the reason Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The Romans ruled the world with great power until they began living in luxury and drunkenness and immorality, and they then lost their character and strength. They were broken up into 10 divisions by the invasions of barbarian tribes from the north, and by the year 476 A.D., Rome was divided. 7 of those 10 divisions are still on the map of Europe to this day. They grew into the modern nations of England, France, and Germany, and Italy, and Spain, and Portugal, and Switzerland. The feet and 10 toes and the image were of iron and clay. Now, that meant that some would be strong and some weak. But God predicted that the kingdom symbolized by the 10 toes would never be united. We read in Daniel 2:43 and 44, "Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now notice that God says they shall not cleave one to another. These are the 7 words that have stopped every aspiring dictator up to the present time. Charlemagne tried to unite Europe, but failed. Charles V tried and failed. Louis XIV, the ruler of France, who was a very shrewd emperor, also tried to unite Europe into one empire, but failed. Napoleon tried it, and he came very close to succeeding. He was called the Little Giant. He was considered to be a military genius. His army swept across Europe. It appeared that nothing would be able to stop Napoleon. However, the elements entered into the picture at Waterloo, and Napoleon's artillery became waterlogged, and he was defeated. Just a simple thing like rain can defeat the mightiest conqueror. Now, I don't believe that it was Marshal Blücher, nor was it Lord Wellington that defeated Napoleon. I believe it was God. Napoleon spent his last days as a prisoner on the island of St. Helena. And one day his guards overheard him exclaim, "God Almighty has been too much for me." In Daniel 2:21 it says, "God changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." And so God decided that Napoleon was getting too heavy in the balance of the world affairs, and he stepped in. Then came Kaiser Wilhelm with his boasted war machine that was supposed to smash all opposition, but it fell apart at the Battle of the Marne. Later Hitler flashed across the face of Europe and hesitated at the English Channel in the face of Churchill's courageous challenge. And then, to the amazement of the world, Hitler, instead of pressing his advantage upon a people who had the will to fight, but no weapons, turned his armies north into Russia. And there the coldest winter in 50 years stole away the glorious dreams of world conquest from Adolf Hitler. Now once again the nations are anxiously charting the pattern of communist aggression. Poland, Romania, Albania, Hungary, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, China, North Korea, Vietnam, other countries in Asia and the Middle East are almost dominated by Russian power. Where will it stop? Americans have practically declared that they can fight no more wars of containment. Then who or what will contain this gigantic atheistic threat to world freedom? I'll tell you who will do it, friends. God's word says they shall not cleave one to another. Those seven words of Daniel forever preclude Russia from ruling either Europe or the world. The old Roman Empire territory of Western Europe will never be welded together under one head. God revealed to Daniel and the prophecy of Daniel 2 that while no man who aspired to be a world ruler could succeed, the nations would be united someday under the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophecy says, in the days of these kings, that is the kings of Europe, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel next reveals that the great rock that broke the image in pieces represents Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2, 44 and 45. The man who is coming from the east to rule the United Nations under one flag is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, whose coming is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to set up his kingdom of glory. All the world will then be under the banner of love. What a wonderful day that will be. We're living today down in the toes of the prophetic image. History has run its course. Thomas Murray of the Atomic Energy Commission made this statement, "For all we know, it may be the incomprehensible and inscrutable will of God to make the 20th century closing time for the human race." And friends, when you look a man over from head to toe, you've gone as far as you can go. The history of our world has gone about as far as it can go. The next great glorious drama will be Christ and His coming and eternity. The Bible predicts that we're living in the day of our Lord's return. Thoughtful men everywhere are increasingly convinced that the return of Christ is near at hand. Men have tried to unite the nations. They've tried to make peace. But men cannot solve the problems of our world. Christ's coming is the answer to our needs. And truly, He's coming soon. And the greatest question of all is whether you are ready for it to happen. If you really want to know how near this great event really is, friends, write for Information Folder C, entitled, "Is Headed Straight Toward You." There you will see the most fascinating array of prophetic signs that are now being fulfilled, proving that time is running out. Text after text will unfold the story of a world that has run its course. So I encourage you today to write for Information Folder C, entitled, "Is Headed Straight Toward You." And please, friends, don't forget to include the call letters of this station that you're listening to right now. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.